Who can tell me what we talked about last week? Good job. You read the paper, though. Yeah. Yeah, we started talking about discernment. So if you weren't here last week, let me give you just a really quick heads up on that. We started a series on the word discernment, which we talked about last week. When you define it, it means to pull apart or to break beyond what's on the surface, to see kind of a definition, to see between good and bad, be able to separate and discern, to perceive what differences are there. And the reason why this is so important is because most of your bigger decisions in life are not going to be the real obvious ones. It's going to be the little ones that you don't always take note of. And it's the ones that aren't clear black and white. And what we're going to do today is we're actually going to turn it and start, in the rest of our series and apply, how do we apply discernment to, like, today we're talking about technology. How do we figure out, something about technology that that isn't apparent readily? So, Tucker, do me a favor. Would you grab my black backpack? There's something that's right behind you. No, it's back around the corner underneath my coat. There's something I left in there I forgot to grab. So last week we said seeing is crucial. You can be deceived, and the problem is if you are deceived, you don't know it. We talked about discernment being a daily thing and affecting every area of your life. Thank you. And just that fact, key factors are having a heart that is seeking what's good, living a life where Jesus is actually Lord, that you are letting him have charge, having a conviction that the Word of God is the standard you'll use, because really one of the big things in discernment is to break apart good and evil. The Bible says that it has a unique ability with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to be able to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. Pull out your motives, not just what you do, but why you do it. And we have a hard time figuring that out, and that's why we need the Word of God. And then lastly, actively bringing the Word into every area of your life. And then we talked about, where are you located right now? Do you even know where you are with relationship with God? Where are you in terms of your walk with God? Are you strong or not? So today, in talking about technology, keyword or key thought, next one, is this is a verse that I want you, this is what we used last week. This is the key verse for the whole series. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. In other words, the solid food it's talking about is the Bible. Some people can only skim the Bible, and they have to take the big lessons. Like, Jesus loves me. Got it. But now if you're really going to apply the Word of God, it's more than that. It's, into things that you have to take principles sometimes, and not just the Ten Commandments and things like that. But you've used your senses, both your physical ones and your spiritual ones, in the sense of having the Spirit of God help you discern that what's not obvious, and you're discerning good and evil. Next. Technology includes what? Okay, I want you to pull together with the two people around you, little groups of threes. Just huddle real quick. You've got 1 minute. What would you include in the list of technology? Okay? For instance, cell phone is technology. What else would you put in that category? New technologies that affect your life. Okay? Put it together. You have a minute. Come on, ladies. Where all your people go? Gosh. So bad. Push them away. All right, time's up. Okay, real quick. Technology would include things like cell phones, zippers. That technology's been around for a little while, okay? What else? Yeah. New technology. Oh, come on, this is ancient. I'm talking about new technologies, yes. The what? That thing? That's a screen. That isn't technology, but that is technology. Speaker is. Smart boards. Yeah, what else? Yes. iPads. How many of you have an iPad? Really? Come on, put them up. You are the blessed ones. You're the loved children. Okay, iPads. Very good. Okay, how many of you just have the little iPods? Yeah, you're like everybody. All right. Okay, what else? Kindles. Anybody got a Kindle? Kindles, yeah, okay. Computers? Everybody, right? What kind? Yeah. How many of you guys, like your parents, like love you so much they put a GPS in your car so you could actually find your way home? Okay, very good, very good. All right. What other technologies around you? Real quick. Huh? Car. It's been around a little while, but it's got gadgets on it. You're right. Airbags is technology. Cameras. Right? Okay. You know, when I was growing up, they made a big technological jump to, let's see if Casey remembers. Remember what it used to be before cassettes? What was it?
A-track.
Those are actually pretty good sounds. That's right. Yep. Okay, so here's the deal. There's a lot of technology, and interestingly enough, a lot of the things you guys take for granted was not even around when I was growing up. I know most of you, I've heard this comment made. You cannot imagine a world without a cell phone. When I worked, I was a sales rep for Xerox for about 5 years. I worked down in Arlington. I loved it. If you have a competitive spirit and you like people and you have something we're selling, selling's a blast. And I had this big technology. I was really actually feeling pretty good about myself. I had what was called a beeper. And what it was is something you put on your hip and you'd show that proudly. And every once in a while it would beep and you'd go, "Someone wants me." And you'd pull it up and it would show you a cell phone, a number, not a cell phone. It would show you a number and I would go to a payphone and drop some money in and call them. That way, you know, there was no other way to find me, but I was now in touch. I was cutting edge. And you don't even know what that is. You know, what's a beeper, you know? But you can see how, you know, in your lifetime, technology has radically changed. And this is the thing I want to really capture your attention with is technology is a tool, okay? But technology has the ability to change you, to affect you, to change the way we live, the way we think, the way we make decisions. It can create a lifestyle that is really not one we want. And if we treat it as neutral, in one sense it is, but its effect is not neutral. Because I would throw it out to you, if you removed all the technology that you have, how different would your life be? It'd be a lot different. You would think more. You would read more. You would talk face-to-face more. And we're making trade-offs. And they are changing a lot of things. And I want you to be aware of what they are, okay? All right, so the real question is not what is technology doing for you, it's what is it doing to you. Okay, advantages of technology. I'm giving you a couple there. We're going to focus on the cell phone because technology is like talking about the ocean. It's like, really, if you break it out, there's so much technology out there. It's crazy. All right? But we're going to talk about cell phone because it's part of what you guys, we all have as a core part of our life. And eventually, everything we ever need is going to be on this little, you know, thing we carry around with us. Every part of life besides probably food. You know, it can't make food yet. But everything else, you know, you'll be like this. Your whole life will be here, okay? And it's heading that way fast, all right? So, advantage of technology. I want to let you see some changes in technology. Notice, those were the early cell phones. That would not have caught on today with teenagers. It's like, do I carry that in my backpack or in my car? You know, the thing on the right there, it was about that big, and it was cutting edge. I remember only very important and wealthy people had them. They were, I forgot, I don't know the price tag. Casey, do you remember the, what's your guess on the price tag? Remember the original cell phones that came out? You were still in high school, I think. Right. I think it was like $500 to $1,000 just for that. It had a whopping 30-minute life on the battery and no accessories to plug it in anywhere. Okay, so it was kind of limited, all right? So that's where the cell phone has come to now, many varieties and whatnot. But here's some things that technology can do for us, okay? Number one, it convenience and efficiency. Convenience and efficiency. You guys are all about multitasking, okay? Matter of fact, a good friend of mine, who is actually here, said, that they can multitask, but what they found is they got up to, I think, three or four levels of multitasking, and while they were listening and preparing, they were also eating, and somehow the tacks got in the nuts they were eating, and they're like, that's sharp, too much multitasking. Oh my gosh, I'm eating tic-tacs, you know, that you put on a bulletin board tacks. It's not tic-tacs. It's like, whoa, too much multitasking. But cell phones, technology, you're able to do so many things with one small device in a very efficient way. And here's an example. Nextel has a commercial that I want you to see. This is what life could look like if we ran it all by that core value of technology. We're cutting edge here. We're going live streaming from the internet because I couldn't convert it. Go down.
Mike, Sue.
Yes.
Love and honor.
Yep.
Sickness, health.
Uh-huh.
Objections? Rings? Do you?
I do.
Do you?
I do.
Kiss? Husband and wife. Next.
So, as you can see, I mean, we can, with technology, make things quick, you know? Now, the thing that is really interesting is they've actually shown one of the flaws of technology, and that is in something that should be intimate and personal and you know, it's not. I mean, it doesn't work in a wedding. You know, you're like, are you kidding? But that's the way we live a lot of our lives, aren't we? We get it down to, I want to make it fast. I can text so I don't have to really talk if I don't need to. I can prune who I really want to talk to. You know, we're efficient. That's a good thing, sort of, most of the time. 80% of 15 to 18-year-olds have a cell phone. 60% of 10 to 14-year-olds have a cell phone. 22% of 6 to 9-year-olds have cell phones. And they say in the next 3 years, they are shooting for over 50% of the 4 to 8-year-old crowd to have a cell phone. Yeah. Yeah. It's... you know, it's the way it's going. So here's my question, total transparency. How many of you do not possess a cell phone yet? You are not in the blessed group. Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. That would include my kids. So, all right, number two, communication. A big advantage of technology is you can communicate. You can talk local and long distance. You know, we used to pay so much for long distances. Now it's like any area code is like no matter, you know. Used to be a big deal. You can text, you can send pictures to others, you know, instantly, right now. Third is safety. You can call for help if you're stranded. I remember there was a time when my mom broke down with us back in the 1960s, and your prayer was, will a nice person come help us? You know, that's what you had. You know, you had no plan B. And now it is great to be able to send your wife or your daughter or whatever out, knowing that if there is trouble, they can always call. It's a lifeline. It's great. It's a good thing that it can do for us. You can call police for help or ambulance for help in a wreck. Number four, information. You now, and by your cell phone, if you have web access, you have access to all information that is publicly known. So at your fingertips, you know, you can Google anything and look smart, okay? But you've got information in an unlimited way. Fifth, directions. I love one thing about my phone. I do not have to have a GPS. I have a GPS on my phone, and it even talks to me if I want it to, you know. But I can be in the middle of nowhere, and it can help me find out where I want to go. Or if I'm hungry, what's nearby, you know, what's the closest Taco Bell, you know, whatever. And lastly, entertainment. It allows me, if I have that free moment while I'm multitasking to do nothing else, I can add another mindless aspect to my day and play a game on my phone, you know. So, and we can go more. I mean, there's a lot more. But as I said, the real key question is not what it is doing for you, but what is it doing to you. So, discernment, pulling apart, trying to perceive differences. This is what I want to show you. Ultimately, this is something I hope you'll hold in your head, okay? And that is, a cell phone is a tool. A cell phone is a tool, much like this tool, okay? But there's a huge difference between this tool and this tool. This tool will not create a lifestyle for me. It will not change the way I live, other than I won't have to use my fingernails. I'll use this. You know, I mean, I could do weird things with it. I won't do that. But this thing has a lot of power over me and can radically change me. So just remember that if we keep in mind that it's a tool and we don't want that tool to do more for us than we want it to, we have to limit this tool and not let it do something to us. That is where you need to start discerning and thinking. Okay, so first off, you need to remember it's a tool. Key verse today that I want you to kind of lock onto is this. 1 Corinthians 6:12. It's on your sheet there. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Okay, there is a freedom in Christ. God has opened up things where under the law there were things we couldn't do. Now God says he's opened up some things. You're not worried about eating shrimp. You know, if you grew up in the Old Testament, shrimp would have been on the no list. Okay, and there's certain reasons why God had it on the no list. Today, now, if you've read your New Testament, it said that God has said okay. You know, and there's reasons for why he said okay. But he says all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. For instance, some people say that even shellfish is not a great idea to eat a ton of for certain reasons, okay? So even though I can do it, I don't have to. But here's the principle. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Another version would say, I will not be brought under the power of or dominated by anything. And this is something I really want to throw out to you, no matter what it is, as a principle of life. Christ died for you to have real freedom. And most of the things that the world offers you, you're like, hey, you know, I mean, how much is going to be spent on the games today and the Super Bowl trying to inform you that beer is awesome? And, you know, because they're horses that pull that beer, then it's really cool that you need to drink that beer, okay? Like, what does that mean? But you know what? Beer, for some of your friends who are, you know, putting it down, if you get to college and putting it down, I had a number of my friends in high school that I watched become alcoholics. They were mastered by the thing they thought would bring them freedom and bring them life, okay? So I'm not saying, yeah, I mean, obviously beer is something that a lot of people like. You have to develop that taste. I don't know why you would do that, but people do, and then they like the buzz off it, and then it starts mastering them. So the question is that a wise thing? You know, like we're talking about Wednesday night, is that a wise thing to do? Well, here's the principle I want you to remember. If God died so I'd be free from sin, but then he also died that I'd be free in this life to enjoy everything without regret, what am I going to allow to take me over? That's my choice. I am allowing technology to master us in certain areas of our life, if you will notice that, okay? I'm going to walk through a number of them pretty quick, and I'm hoping this will be helpful. There is more that we could say, and I tried to kind of package it in a way that makes sense. Some of this I've got from a book. It's called Flickering Pixels. It's by a guy named Shane Hipps, How Technology Shapes Your Faith. I actually saw this guy in a conference about 2 years ago, and it really made me think. And then in reading his book, I don't read a lot of books. Matter of fact, Lisa was kind of laughing at me like, why are you pushing to read this whole book? You only have 30 minutes, Bob. So I'm like, I know. But there are a lot of things that said in there that really have made me think, and hopefully I'll say it in a way that you guys can catch it. But number one, when you look beyond the clear advantages, what are some issues with technology? Well, number one, it can blur boundaries. Okay? Go ahead and pull that up, John. It can blur boundaries. I think I have those on. Nope. Okay, it's still, yeah, right. All right. Sorry, John. It can blur boundaries. 57% of teens view their cell phone as the key to their social life, second only to clothing. 57%. The problem we have with cell phones is we don't know when and how to turn it off. We even have backup plans how to energize it, right? You know, like if your cell phone went dead, that could be a very bad thing, right? You wouldn't want that to happen. So how many of you all have an extra battery? Come on. Nobody has an extra battery. Okay. Well, sometimes you just can't get that charger. How many have a charger for your car? Yeah, because you want to make sure, like, if you were actually out and it was to die, bad thing. Yeah, so, but here's the deal with your boundaries. Anyone can have access to you at any time. Anyone can have access to you at any time. We've created a culture where we want to be in touch all the time. And that is not necessarily good. Back when I had a beeper, sales reps talked about, you know what? When I'm off work, I don't want the company calling. I turn it off because I got a life. But you know what? It blurs boundaries because you really should not have your cell phone on all the time. I know it breaks the whole deal of if I want to call you and you want to call me, like if it's ever off, then it doesn't really work. But you know what? There's times when people shouldn't have access to you. Like when you're in the bathroom. I hear that there are a lot of people that do things on their cell phone in the bathroom, and I think it's just disgusting. So you need to have boundaries, okay? It doesn't go with you into the bathroom. They actually talked about germs being a problem, and part of it's even that people use in the bathroom. So let's just set that straight, okay? But there's a reason why God created us with boundaries. He gave us 7 days in a week. He gave us 365 in a year. He gave us 24 in a day. And this is what he said. You know, in your 24 hours in one day, 8 hours out of that, you really need to sleep. And as a teenager, you sometimes you really like pushing that boundary. It's like, I really don't need sleep. And then the next day, you look like you died, but you're still walking, right? Because that doesn't really work for you very long. And if you extend that out, it doesn't work very long. And that's why God said there's a Sabbath day a week, a time when you stop and you put away things. But we don't do good with that because we're multitasking, really, really trying to get things done. And God says that isn't a really good idea. You need boundaries. And God says if you don't take those boundaries seriously, it will catch up to you. That is why some people look like they've been ridden hard and put away wet, okay? They are older looking than their age. That's a horse term, I'm sorry. If you ride a horse hard and you don't, you know, put away wet, okay? Where's Amy when I need her?
She's on a horse show.
She's on a horse show. Okay, anyway. You need rhythm in your life. You need balance in your life. There's day and there is night. The reason why, God says you are not an infinite being. And if you don't have boundaries in your life, even how you use technology, it will start changing you. Number two. Oh, I've got sure one thing. I had to flip the page. The picture of this is Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And what this means is if we don't control our anger, anyone can come in like a city. They can come in and mess with you. They can come in and make you have to fight. But if you have walls up, people can't just come in and mess with you. Okay, and so that's how do you control your anger. But how do you control technology? If you have no walls, it can always manipulate you and push your buttons. So what are the walls? And you're going to need some walls, okay? Two, it can increase temptation. Temptation used to be outside the walls of our home. Technology has brought the world of temptation now into your home, and a cell phone has made it mobile to go with you at all times. And that is the real deal. It is killing some of you to have that. Temptations include, you know, lying about having it, okay? You know, texting under the table where you're not supposed to have it at school, right? Or one that's a little more closer to home. When we tell you, we want you to take a technology break, don't bring it to the retreat. You lie about it. You still bring it. Why? Because I think you're a little bit too dependent on it. To lie about where you are when your parents call. 39% in a study said that they are not always truthful about where they are. Okay, to have access to pornography or to use it to take and send inappropriate pictures. You know, the word sexting is a new word as of in the last 4 years, right? Where'd it come from? It came from a technology option that is now morphed into something that's really not good. Okay, and people don't have, it's a temptation for some to do that. To say things you would never say in person. Some of you have said things texting that you wouldn't have the guts to say face to face. But you feel the freedom that you can say it. And some of it are inappropriate things that you're talking in the level of intimacy that you shouldn't. Some are saying hard things that you shouldn't say, but it's a temptation. It's a temptation to waste time with little to show for it. Some of you use it while driving and putting your others at risk. I being one, my family will tell you that they'll remind me, Bob, cell phone down. I'm like, you're right. It's a temptation. Could have devastating consequences. To communicate at inappropriate times to people your parents have restricted you from. Tons of temptations. So what are you going to do? The verse, Ephesians 4:27, in the Amplified Version says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give him no opportunity. And what that means is, you know, if you're at a climbing wall, you're looking for footholds because you're here, and I need a place to step so I can keep going. Satan is an active force. He is a person. He's not omnipresent. There are demons. There's a spiritual world that is advancing into your life. And if you are trying to advance towards God, they are coming at you with even greater, you know, impact. He is looking for a place to rest his foot to keep going further and further in your life. So the Bible says, look at things that are temptations and start eliminating places where you will give him the opportunity to do something that you know you shouldn't. For some of you, you know, it means you don't go to parties where you know you may not be able to handle the temptation of the peer pressure to go, you know, take the drink, take the hit, you know, whatever it is. That wouldn't be smart. It wouldn't be smart if you are really attracted to a girl and you're getting to know her and you sit in a dark room with no one around. That's stupid. Because if you're normal, then if you're attracted to her, you will be tempted to do things you shouldn't. Because you know that's not the context that God wants you to have it. So, temptations. How will you deal with a source of temptation? By its nature, technology is creating footholds in your life. 3, it can create an independent world without supervision. It can create an independent world. God created a family as a place for provision and protection. Okay? Within the family, he's given structures for authority. Okay, a good authority. He's also a context for unconditional love, and he's given parents a mandate to raise their children and pass on wisdom in a shared life context, okay? But naturally, you know, we're pulling apart. Our own sin nature wants to go its own way. Our modern culture says teens don't really want to hang with their parents. And at the very time when God says you are ready to be discipled by your parents, to really cognitively be able to wrestle out and hear from them things that you should know and be able to apply to your life, your culture is saying, push away, be independent. And technology, cell phones, is creating an independent world where you can live on your own outside of them and you don't need them. Cell phone allows teens to create a world that is practically invisible to their parents and draws them away from them. This means that teens are basically on their own and cut off from source of wisdom, warning, and guidance at a time when most are not really ready to handle this on their own without consequence. God wants you to be dependent upon your parents, to learn from them, build a relationship with them, so that God may speak through them and lead you. Proverbs 6:20 is serious when it says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. Sorry for the typo. And when you awake, they will speak with you. You can't have that if you live in your own world and all you have is occasional, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. What's going on? You need to have an intimacy, a relationship with them. 4, can create wrong dependencies. 37% of teenagers feel that they would not be able to live without a cell phone. Life would cease to exist as you know it. Okay, that's a pretty big dependency. God challenges us. We need to be ultimately depending on the Lord, depend on Him, trust Him, and depend on Him to be our rock. He's given your family as something you also need to depend on. But we create a dependency when we build the habit of constant contact and feedback between texting and Facebook, and teens begin to find their security, self-worth, line of counsel, and means of community with their friends. This has elevated the role and importance and influence and access of friends, and it's not right. It only works as long as friends do not let you down. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. It's creating a culture that says, I don't really need God. I can really lean on my friends and they can help me through. 5, it can rob you of the important things. It can rob you of the important things. Many say that they have no time to spend with God on a daily basis. However, study says that in 8 to 18-year-olds, lives, they devote an average, this is crazy, an average of 7 hours and 38 minutes a day to media. And you might go, there is no way. You're right. You might be so busy with school and athletics, you don't have that time. But if you didn't, and you add up TV, iPod, texting, television, you start adding up the media, it starts putting a lot of time in your life. And I don't know what the number is in your life, but I can tell you, God says, where do I fit? Do I have a place? And so it's really robbing us of the good things. And Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, you can be so wired into your friends that you're really doing exactly what it said. You're walking in the counsel. You don't think they're wicked, but they're not giving you righteous counsel necessarily. Okay? 6, it can dilute your communication, and then I would add to that, and it can alter it, okay? This generation now is a generation focused on itself, or obsessed with itself. Teens today broadcast so much about themselves on Facebook, texting, and Twitter. It's basically become a narcissistic society, meaning that everyone really needs to know about me because I'm such a big deal, okay? The way we were created while living a life of balance, we should be learning and experiencing, working, and then sharing, not like an all-time on-broadcasting moment. 7, it's created what is now called anonymous intimacy. This means where you are intimate with a large group of people who are by proximity anonymous to you. The example that he used in the book is he said a close friend of his had another friend who was having a child, and they were best friends. But this one friend didn't have Facebook, and she said, please call me when you have the baby. Let me know. And for some reason, they didn't talk, and it had been like 2 weeks, and she called back and said, you know, you haven't had the baby? She said, oh, we had the baby. I thought you saw it. It was on Facebook. I had it 2 weeks ago. And she realized, I'm her closest friend, but I don't have technology. And so 400 of her less intimate friends all knew, even pictures of her, you know, in the delivery and all that. All these anonymous people knew everything about her and her closest friend didn't. And that's the disconnect. It gives you a false sense of intimacy with everyone when in reality you're intimate with no one. You're lacking something in the middle of that. This has changed our friendships and our fellowship, and that's a big deal. God designed us to have real and meaningful relationships that take time, presence, and care, which is not efficient, but it is satisfying and effective. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And lastly, technology, specifically cell phones, can communicate things about you you may not realize. I'm going to read something real quick. I know we're over time, and I apologize. But I want you to hear this. Electronic culture disembodies and separates us from the closest to us. Many of us are quite unaware of this phenomenon, in fact, and we believe our technology is bringing us closer. I was eating lunch with one of those friends when his phone rang, and he answered it. He briefly apologized for interruption and then joined his wireless conversation. In that moment, he was deported electronically, leaving me to dine by myself. At least I have the pleasure of listening to half a conversation. Oh, and I also enjoyed watching him laugh at a joke that must have been quite funny. The near became far, and the far was brought near. It is a condition we create with the smallest decisions, but it is just as easily undone. I was sitting in with a different friend one day. His cell phone rang, and I stopped talking. I said, you can get that if you need to. Without blinking or checking the phone, he said, you took the time and effort to get together with me. Whoever is calling didn't. Now, what were you saying? All he did was ignore his phone long enough to be present where his body was. Not only did I feel honored, but it also made me appreciate the gift of being there. Prioritizing those who are physically present can have a transforming effect on us when so many are digitally absent. The interesting thing is, with that is we can all use our cell phone when we use it with others, and especially when you're one-on-one, we can feel very important. We feel that we're very important and must be immediately addressed by everyone. That you and your time, that you know the other person's time is less important than my need to communicate with others. Basically, they're a big deal and we're not. The gift of undivided attention says, I care about you. That's one thing I know that in my marriage with Lisa, you know, there are times when she'd say, no, Bob, look at me, let's talk, okay? You know, stop multitasking, look at me. And it was right. I was dishonoring her by not doing that. So this is what I'd recommend real quickly, 4 quick things. Number one, you must set clear boundaries. You must set clear boundaries. Ask your parents to work on you with this. That could be shocking in itself. You need to always ask why. Why do I need to do this? Why do I do this? What does this tell me about myself? You don't need your phone on all the time. Wait until you are a truly important person when you do need to have your cell phone on all the time. Suggestions are, there's times when your cell phone's off and you can return phones. Cut the access. Call when you have something to say. 2, you must develop self-control. With this tool, it's incredibly hard to have that, but you need to live out the boundaries you have. If you can't exercise self-control, give it back to your parents. Seriously. If you cannot handle a cell phone, give it back to your parents. And say, when I need to go out driving, give it to me. I don't need it up in my bedroom where I'm tempted all night to talk to my friends or text my friends. Demonstrate self-control. 3, don't replace efficiency for intimacy. Build real and present relationships. If you are sending more than a short message, just call them and talk to them. 4, set God's priorities as first. Don't let technology create them for you. So as you go away today, there are 2 questions on the bottom I was hoping to do in small groups today. To ask which of the above issues are true of you and how, and what do you think your boundaries should be so that your cell phone remains a tool and not something that has mastered you. So let me pray. Father, I thank you for the patience of this group, even in going over time now. But Lord, I thank you that we have this opportunity to talk face to face. And I thank you for their desire to follow you, to be like you, to be used by you, and have a life that matters. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to have wisdom beyond their peers, beyond their age, to look at not only cell phones, but all technology, and really discern how it can remain a tool and not something that is mastering them. God, I just pray by your Spirit you would show that to them. And Father, we ask that in this week that you would draw together teams for the dodgeball tournament. We pray that many would come out and have a great time and hear about you. And we just commit this time, this day to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.